And welcome, everybody, to Off the Hook Overtime. I hope you all enjoyed the Negative Land piece we closed the show with. But this is the Negative Land piece that I wanted to play.
What is the problem? What is the problem?
We are the original Homeland Security.
A country that feels that it is at war domestically, even when it is not really at war domestically.
Our conditions are as follows.
I can make 15 fucking posts on Facebook and not fucking one of you will share it. Because you don't want to offend somebody. Get the fuck off the internet. You are of no use to anybody. Shut your fucking account down. Shut your fucking mouth. Fall in line and love socialist America, because that's what you got. Online.
Violence against others is acceptable.
I don't have children. I live alone. I can spend all of my free time dedicated to working online. And all of the hours that I've spent online working for this country is how I see it. And you people don't even share the shit I post.
Look, we're on there. Don't mess with us.
Thumbs up. You'll write the comment section on Facebook. Well, you know what? That doesn't count on YouTube.
What is the problem?
Figure out how to use the fucking internet or get the hell off of it.
There's no way to be committed to nonviolence in the middle of the most violent society that history's ever created.
It's a tool of the left. Use it against them.
I would argue that it's un-American to trust the government.
Facebook, Twitter. Facebook, Twitter. All tools of the left. All tools of the left.
I beg you to make your own YouTube channels and begin speaking with people. Have I just committed suicide for no reason whatsoever?
Posting or you don't.
What is the problem? What is the problem?
I don't know how to get through to people. I have tried everything I can.
What is the problem?
I was born on the fucking 4th of July.
And welcome, everybody, to this special edition of Off the Hook Overtime. Yeah, you know, I've always wanted to play that song on the radio, but I just never could summon up the courage to do it, or the legal pockets. That's Negative Land 2. You know, the last two pieces, if you listen to the radio show, you heard the piece at the end there, and you heard this piece. They're from two albums that came out recently. One is called True False. One is called The World Will Decide. They're both genius. They're both amazing. They're both pretty much like that throughout. And I totally recommend just get them. They're incredible. Geniuses all around. They have not lost their touch in 40 years. It's incredible.
I love it.
Yes, Gila.
There was a brilliant moment where we were listening. You were playing that. I could hear it through the headphones. And then also, the YouTube started a minute later, so I heard your voice in the middle of the Negative Land, and I was like, holy buckets. But then I realized that wasn't actually what was going on, and I was, oh my goodness, it was a wonderful moment. Also, welcome to the 43 people who are with us on the live stream right now. Greetings to everybody. We did have a listener who said, amazing, it's the future. I've got an open line of communication with Emmanuel Goldstein, longtime 2600 and Hope fan. So the fans are out tonight. Welcome to our regular chatters. We're glad you're all here. And people are definitely digging the van. So thank you for that.
What about the van? What's going on? Kyle, what did you do? What have you done, Kyle?
The van moved.
I honored a request.
Okay, you want to tell people that might not be...
Yes, we were moved by people's interest in our graphical choices for the still image that accompanies this voice broadcast on YouTube.
Okay.
So we took some of the feedback, and our artists were able to introduce a van to our previous image, and hopefully that keeps people at bay for now.
So people who are watching they're watching the action on YouTube, which is no action at all because it's always a still image, because this is a radio show. I'm very firm on that. They will see the image of the van, and I see the van now. It's our hacker van, 2600, and former phone company van that we painted to look like its original colors, and it's got a little a placard that says vote, which is always good advice.
Yeah, and I'll just say we're moved. We're moved. People care.
Great. So if you're listening in the future, then you should be able to see this. I just thought of something though. This is one of the only times we've played music on the overtime segment. Negative Land could sue us and say you put our music on YouTube, and they could shut us down for this. You know, to be sued by Negative Land for copyright infringement, that's something that you frame somehow. You just that just makes it so perfect, and I think we'd all have fun. We'd all have fun with that. Seriously, get the albums. I'm not kidding. Get all the albums. It's Negative Land without an E. Yes, Alex.
Yeah, I have a question. I mean, the outro from the Off the Hook show.
Right.
Was it purely coincidental that you had chose that and we were talking about baby monitors?
Yeah, you know, when you brought up baby monitors, I could not believe it because that was already queued up. We were already going with that.
Crazy.
That was the outro, but then I don't know, you have some kind of sixth sense or something.
That was really funny. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
That's really bizarre. And I was wondering why you reacted in such a way when I brought up baby monitors. I saw you, viscerally react.
I don't do many hand flips, but that was when the occasion called for it. So, yeah.
Yeah.
That was something.
Yeah, so that was very interesting and completely coincidental.
Yeah.
Love it.
That's life. That's how it works. Any other stories or additions to stories that we want to output before we start taking phone calls?
We do have a listener question who wants to know where exactly to purchase a cell phone or Wi-Fi jammer.
We don't sell them, but in the past I've seen them available. Online, I guess, is really, you know, you have to search around. I don't know what the latest deals are. I think when I got one, I think it came from the United Arab Emirates. I'm not sure about that, though. But they do come from all over the world. And you just look for something that is updated. For instance, if you're looking for a cell phone jammer, it's obviously got to take care of 5G, right? And same thing for latest Wi-Fi and whatever else you're trying to jam. But yeah, jamming is it's funny because Negative Land has an album called Jamming where they're talking about ham radio jamming, and it's just a tradition. It's a tradition of messing around with radio waves of one sort or another.
Yeah, it's a huge, huge component of electronic warfare and I guess cyber peace or lack thereof, but. That fixture is relies inherently on designs of circuits that transmit nothing but signal to overpower signals that are doing work for people. So even if it's not widely available, there are probably designs and competent kits that someone could build something like this themselves, even ad hoc. With found objects. But the companies that distribute them, some of them even could be tuned and retuned And they're widely available, imported, and then resold online. You might want to take precautions depending on your jurisdiction and what your intentions are. But if you want to experiment and figure out if your systems can withstand this kind of signal incursion, this might be a good tool to find out how your system responds, and getting a hands on stuff like this is an important step to do that.
I don't know of any jurisdiction where this is legal. So
no, there's heavy fines.
Save yourself some time if you're considering that. No, it's not legal to jam signals.
Yeah, I think in the U.S. it's $11,000.
That's a very specific number.
Cell phone. Yeah.
Okay, well, I do know there are some theater owners that kind of wanted to use this to basically keep their attendees at bay and not have them talking or texting during movies, which seems very, considerate to everybody else. Until you realize that if there's some kind of an emergency or something, then you're blocking all the signals and nobody can get out. And you know, it's there's good and bad to all of these bits of technology. Our viewpoint is let's understand how it works. Let's see, you know, what kind of effect this has. And, you know, again, if authorities can play with this technology, we should be able to play with the technology as well to at least understand it. After all, prisons use cell phone jammers all the time. So, yeah, so what's good for one group of people, it's not good for another group of people. It's kind of hard to justify that.
I just second that about private implementations of this stuff. I mean, after all, authorities and the public use of it mm-hmm. is actually funded through our own contributions to the government, right? So we actually pay for those systems to be used against us.
True.
By whomever the highest bidder privately needs an assist from the government if you really want to break it down.
Right.
So private use, and I think of this specifically, we were talking about license plate capture, automated license plate stuff, but the example of Madison Square Garden with facial recognition, again, private implementation, mm-hmm. people are the costs of running and accessing this technology have been substantially reduced. Same thing with like drones and other kind of innovations of the last 5 or 10 years. So to expect that people would not want to try testing their systems or having access to be able to do this stuff in a private sense when they are very much paying for the public use of it on the public mm-hmm. is kind of hilarious to me. So you should really fiercely guard like your ability to understand and access this technology, especially when people are like, oh yeah, rules say. Well, yeah, rules are wielded in funny ways, and it's I think something that we should be very, very sensitive to, especially because how much we're depending on a lot of this stuff. So yeah, it's I think really dependent on intent when you're trying to build or otherwise use a device like this.
Go ahead, Gila.
Listener follow-up from Tim in Connecticut. He says, is it maybe a case of illegal to use but not illegal to own?
That's a good question. I'm not sure. Alex, do you know anything about that?
I do not. I'm not entirely clear about that, so I don't want to opine and mislead people.
And plus, it could be different in one place and not another.
Yes.
But there might be some people out there that do know the answer to that. So
that is true.
I think you have to evaluate your own risk taking. I think that's the closest advice any of us are going to give you. Alex, certainly, I respect your kind of distancing yourself from what we are encouraging or advocating. And like, I would just say, there might be situations where access to this and use of it might be warranted. We've seen that in some of the conflict zones and stuff. So, I mean, this stuff gets used in situations where civility has broken down.
Let me give you an example where civility may have broken down. Let's just take a typical American household, all right? You have a family, right? And you have a guy in his family. Let's call him Dad, all right? And Dad decides that the kids are using the internet too much, so he unplugs the internet from the modem. Yeah. Legal? Not legal. He can do that, right? He can unplug the internet if he wants, right? Right, Alex, you've probably done that.
Totally illegal.
Totally illegal?
Dads are never
allowed. Oh, come on, it's legal.
Human right violation.
Dad can unplug the internet if he could turn the power off to the house if he wants.
Parents are the oppressor. Yeah.
So can the kid though. Okay, so why would it be illegal for him to block Wi-Fi then? What's the difference?
I think it would have to do with the breadth of the blocking, right? And the ability to jam things that you might not otherwise intend to jam, and essentially foreseeable but unintentional consequences of the jamming that might get you in trouble with the FCC in particular.
He's in a house, okay? It's only affecting that house. How could that be illegal? How could that affect anything else?
Well, I think it would be illegal per se in the sense of, you know, not everybody's allowed to jam things, right? You might need some kind of specialized license or authorization in order to do that. I don't know. Like I said, I'm not a jamming expert, but I would imagine that you could get yourself into some hot water with the FCC if you do this. But let's say hypothetically, right, this dad is living out in the forests of Montana or something like that, and he jams cell phone or Wi-Fi signals in his own home.
The kids are out of control. He has to do something.
Well, most kids are, and I would agree with that to a certain extent. But the consequences of that jamming are not going to affect anybody else. He's not going to accidentally jam his neighbor's Wi-Fi or screw up some kind of emergency signal or broadcast or device or pacemaker of the guy who lives across the street. But in that situation, right, I mean, there's really, it goes back to that old, legal maximum, de minimis, non curat lex, right? The law doesn't care about trifles. If there's no consequence to it, if you jam and nobody knows about it, it's like, if a tree falls in the forest and nobody's there to hear it, did it really make a sound? If you jam a Wi-Fi signal and you don't accidentally affect somebody's pacemaker, did you really jam the Wi-Fi signal?
Well, you introduced pacemakers. I didn't tell you that Granddad is also there, who has a pacemaker. Granddad on Mom's side, by the way. There's been issues between the two of them, so now all of a sudden there's some drama here.
Intrigue.
Yeah, intrigue, and all of a sudden jamming the Wi-Fi could have other consequences as well. But then again, so can unplugging the internet where, that's also where the phone line comes in, because they get their phone line from the cable company. And it's impossible to call the authorities if something should have to be dealt with. And so I don't know. A lot of things are illegal that we might not be realizing. Rob?
Yeah, well, one of the arguments, say, talk about the cell phone jammers that, in a movie theater, where the theater would want to jam everyone's cell phone so that people's phones don't go off during the movie. And an example of unintentional bad consequences of something like that would be, say, some on-call brain surgeon is in the audience watching a movie and doesn't get a phone call, and as a result, he doesn't get to work, and somebody dies because he wasn't there to help. And so then you have the jamming of the phone becoming something in a chain of events which led to a death.
Yeah, but hang on, Rob. It's very clear at the beginning of the film, turn your cell phones off. You tell me this brain surgeon didn't turn his... I thought brain surgeons were smart. I thought they knew how to live in society. But apparently no. Apparently they keep their phones on. Is that what you're saying?
Well, if a brain surgeon wanted to be smart and nice to his fellow moviegoers, this brain surgeon could set it to vibrate, and the instant it goes off, just leave the theater and go take it out in the hallway. If Dad wants to control the internet because the kids are uncontrollable, Dad could also just log into his router and cut off access to his children's devices, and he'd still be able to go on and watch the game or whatever dads do.
Yeah, Dad can't do that. Dad, that's above his pay grade. But go ahead, Kyle.
Okay, I just want to say, practically speaking, to get to augment behavior, if you've ever had a jammer, it doesn't take sustained jamming, so. To actually change, to mess with somebody a little bit or change someone from doing something on their phone, and intermittent use, I can't emphasize this enough, is just enough of a nudge to kind of make whatever annoyance
exactly.
go away.
Exactly.
And then again, I would just comment about this, the surgeon scenario, like oftentimes they use alternate devices and protocols if they're on call to get a message on a frequency that is actually not a part of what other communication standards are. The other, I don't know that for a fact, but in the past pagers were used often, I think. I don't know what the state of the art is now, but for that being the only reason private use of this stuff is not allowed, I think is, like you said, it's an edge, kind of strange exception to just en masse say society has to bow down to the way we do this. But, and go ahead.
Well, just to speak to your point, what you say about just having an influence on somebody's behavior for the moment. One of the few times I used a cell phone jammer, I was on a train. And this guy was sitting behind me, and he got on his phone, and he was starting to talk about stocks and getting really loud and aggressive. So, you know, at a time like that, you just turn it on. He's like, hello, hello, hello. You know, that goes on for about a minute, and then he stops. He tries again, doesn't get through, stops, and does something else. Then you turn it off. You got the desired effect. You shut him up or got him to move someplace else. But sometimes I think it's justified. I really do. Go ahead, Alex.
You know, we're talking about these foreseeable but unintentional consequences, and at the same time being pretty nostalgic about these radio frequencies and scanning. I don't know, Emmanuel, if you remember back in the day, the frequency 152.090 by any chance. It's just stuck in my head.
It's a VHF frequency, I believe.
Yep.
It's some kind of a scanner type thing, some kind of, is it, a police call or something, or some kind of authority,
yeah,
or,
close.
Is it maybe like a doctor, or some kind of, what is it?
It was the voice pager frequency.
Voice pagers. Yeah. So you hear
Remember
the notes that doctors
yes.
would be getting.
Well, it was incredible because, you know, doctors seemed to have been the only people in the 90s that would have these voice pagers. And a voice pager wouldn't just transmit a number, which you were supposed to call back, but a voice pager actually transmitted voice over this. So it was, and it was all just done through unencrypted radio signals as well. So if you listen to 152.090, you would hear one after another of the doctors in your area getting paged with the personal health information of somebody who was in distress. I said, Dr. Smith, you know, your patient, Mr. Atkinson, is in cardiac arrest over here, or, you know, or is in severe distress, and you need to call the office at this number, blah, 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 blah. And, I mean, it was incredible the type of health information that they were just broadcasting without any protection whatsoever over this 152.090, and you could hear it one after another after another. If you wanted to be really, really nasty, and I never did this. I wouldn't even dare go near something like this. But there would be an assumption at the doctor's office that only the doctor would have received that particular page. You could have called up and said, this is Dr. So-and-so. I received a page about this other person who's in distress. Please give him, you know, 20 grams of fentanyl or whatever. I mean, you could probably prescribe medication and impersonate a doctor extraordinarily easily simply by knowing the information that they broadcast over that channel. I wonder if something like that.
Yeah, well, except the real doctor would probably be calling about 3 seconds after you and really confusing everybody.
Oh, yeah. Well, then he would be the fake doctor.
Well, I don't know about that. But go ahead, Gila.
Well, okay, so I grew up in a family where my parent was not a doctor, but we had a voice pager. And I don't know, man, we were always told that we could only get about 5 seconds of sound. So, you know, my mom would, like, page my dad while he was at the grocery store and just say, here's something for the shop. Brown sugar was something that happened. But I was entertained. Okay, so, sorry, we have another question, though. Tim in Connecticut asks about the legality of using a TV Be Gone to turn off a wall of TVs at a local big box store. Now,
Do you remember when someone did that in Berlin? They turned off a TV at the CCC Congress in a big box store, and I think the store tried to charge them for a $2,000 TV because somehow turning it off busted it. I might be remembering that incorrectly, but I do remember there was quite a lot of consternation, and it was all because of a TV being on in a big box store.
So I don't know if there's a question of legality there.
I think it's a matter of attribution. If they have some kind of, camera system that can pick up a light frequency, which is unlikely, but maybe they can see that you're the source of this list of different TV codes. But I think that is a low risk scenario. It would be higher stakes if you were turning off, say, a wall of TVs in some kind of a command center for something. That would be more disruptive and run afoul of a lot more interested parties than, say, a average big box manager. You still might not be in their good graces if they're, again, able to attribute activity
to
you.
They won't like it. But what if you just walked up to a TV and pressed the button and turned it off? And no one's going to say, oh, you should be arrested for that. They're just going to say, stop being a jerk and get out of here.
Well, maybe people want to see how fast it turns on and off. I mean, that's a practical thing if you're going to buy a
television. I'm sure you can justify it in all manner of ways. Go ahead, Alex.
Yeah, I like Kyle's thinking here with respect to attribution, which essentially equates to it's really only illegal if you get caught, right? But also, I don't think it's actually illegal in the sense of the act of doing it itself, right? And because with a TV begun, you're just broadcasting out an infrared signal. And infrared is not the same as some kind of Wi-Fi jammer or something that would affect frequencies that would belong to others or would be licensed in some way to another person or company. Because infrared is very localized in a sense, right? And you can buy devices that replicate other devices, infrared frequencies, universal remotes, that kind of stuff, which is essentially what a TV begun is. So I don't think it's illegal, but I could be wrong. You should look it up, I guess.
The actual act probably isn't illegal, but interfering with a business might be some kind of an offense.
Well, that's where I was going. Which is, I think that the act itself may not be illegal, but it may be considered in New York or something to be like criminal mischief or something. My wife is here. She was a former prosecutor in Brooklyn. So what do you think, Effie? You think you'd get in trouble for using a TV begun in a store? I've done this many times with her, so.
I don't think you'd be in trouble.
You don't think that could be criminal mischief or something like that?
Well, what's the penal law?
She wants to look up the law, so we'll get back to you.
Okay, all right. Well, it's good to have an expert opinion on this. Yes, Rob, go ahead.
Well, I was in retail management a long time ago, and I remember the legal situation being something like you could, you know, just tell a customer to leave if they're being annoying, and if they're not, then they're trespassing, and then that's where you get the law involved if you need to.
Right. But again, you have to be caught. You know, if TV sets keep going off and they don't know why, it's hard to determine who is responsible. It's like sitting outside a McDonald's and overpowering their two-way radio talking to customers. You know, when people used to do that in the past. What they would do is basically get cars to do things like honk their horn to test the microphone or be told that they no longer have this particular item, which they're known for selling. And it would just cause all kinds of issues. And, you know, there were stories of managers running out into the parking lot to see just what was going on and never being able to find the perpetrators. And that's the nature of radio communication. We're anonymous.
So we have apparently an answer here based on statutory research that was done on the fly.
Hi, everybody. I looked only at the New York Penal Code, but it has to be an intentional damage to property. Oh. And it depends on, it does not matter the amount, like a monetary amount of damage. It has to be damage to property. And I think the argument can be made that because when you walk away or you change it back, you're not really damaging property. I don't think it would fall under New York Penal Code. Alice can tell you a really interesting story about going to the Corning Glass factory where the entire cafeteria was made up of TVs and the entire executive.
This is not the place for that.
Okay.
No, I think it's the place for that. Do go on, Alex. We want to hear this story.
You know the famous Corning Glass, right? So there's Corning, New York, where this Corning Museum exists. And we were there, and it was a while ago. It was like maybe 7 years ago or something like that. And we had some friends visiting us from England, from London. We really, really dear friends, and we're all driving back from Niagara Falls. We stopped at this Corning Museum, and I had the TV Begone with me. And and the entire cafeteria was, it was a very popular place in this museum, and all of the menus were televisions. You know, they were just flat-screen televisions that had the menus over there. So I was able to sit at one particular table that was pretty far away, wasn't really even in the cafeteria. And just the TV Begone was angled so perfectly that whenever I hit it and it got to that infrared code, they just all went off. And it caused this complete chaos in the cafeteria because nobody could order anything.
Oh, my God.
And then they'd have to turn them on manually one by one by one and get them on. People would be ordering, staring at it. Now they can finally see what they want to order, and the line's getting longer and longer and longer. And then I would turn it off again. And then they would go and manually turn it on, and then I would turn it off again.
You're to the point where anarchist. That's what you were.
But what was really funny is that this parade of people in suits came down from the staircase, and they all came. And all these people in the suits came to inspect the televisions, and it turned into this really surreal situation where we're like, what the hell is going on here? Why? Where did all these people in suits come from?
They have their own secret service upstairs. What's
really bizarre? Yeah.
Wow.
It was strange. Yeah, obviously something my wife will never forget.
Well, you know, it makes me remember a time that I was our friend, not Kevin, who used to be on the show. I was driving on the New Jersey Turnpike with him. We stopped at a rest stop, and he was playing with a TV Begone with a TV at the rest stop, and causing a bit of confusion there. And I realized, you know, dude, you have a TV Begone hat on right now. You're messing with the TV. It's not going to take much to piece this together. So sometimes we get a little confident that this particular joke is going to land right, but sometimes it doesn't. I don't think we ever got chastised too badly, but there were some people who were able to figure out what was going on. Gila, go ahead.
So I remember the first time I heard about a TV Begone was suggested to me that it would be funny if we were in a restaurant and we were across the street from like a TGI Fridays with several TVs that we could see from across the street. And it was March and several TVs were tuned to different basketball games because it was that time of March.
Uh-huh.
And Rob said, hey, there's this really cool device, and if I had mine with me, I could just turn off all the TVs right now. And I said, you would cause a riot in that TGI Fridays.
And you did.
And that was – he didn't have one at the time.
Oh, okay.
Someone asked if – did Mitch Altman have a TV Begone in a baseball cap?
I imagine, you know, that's one of the things he would have covered pretty quickly. I do remember, though, sometimes when we did a show down on Wall Street at the old WBAI studios, we would take the M15 bus back up, and that would go past several bars. We had, I think it was a Super TV Begone or TV Begone Plus mm-hmm. or something, had extra power. We were able to point it out the window of the bus as it was passing by bars and turn off TVs as we were going up the street. We could hear the howls of despair from the people in the bar as their game was turned off. It's cruel, I know. It was nasty. They did nothing to us, but it was funny. It was definitely something that we will never forget.
I think what the the kits, you could relocate some of those emitters to some kind of wearable, like a hat, a cap of some sort in the bill, maybe hot glue them, and then take the leads and run them to maybe the back or inside, maybe even a funny, like, historical hat that's not too funny. You don't want to attract attention.
No.
But they're really – they still work. I think people forget just how much – some of these places rely on these televisions emitting noise, shall we say, for ambiance. And it's a risk, and it's a fairly low risk, and the reward, it really can disrupt what people want these spaces to be, and it is a lot of fun.
There have been occasions in restaurants where they have a TV on with volume, and you're trying to talk to people, so I have no qualms turning that off. And, you know, they would turn it back on, you turn it off, they turn it back on, and you do it the third time, they stop. They give up at that point. That's what I found to be true. Rob?
One of the best TV Be Gone hacks I saw was somebody actually made a TV Be Gone hoodie where the emitters were in the hood, and the switch to set it off was running the zipper up and down, because the metal zipper completed the circuit, and awesome. That was your button push. So all you had to do was zip your hoodie completely unobtrusively, and you were TV Be Gone-ing whatever happened to be around you and in range. I think, you guys, we should take some phone calls.
We should, but there's one more thing I wanted to share with people. And this actually happened in Dayton, Ohio at the Hamvention, where we were walking around a neighborhood playing with the TV Be Gone, you know, at various commercial establishments. But then we realized this also works in houses. And the TV Be Gone, it's the way it works, it goes through all the possible frequencies of the on-off switch of every TV that's known to it. Now, on-off switch, that means that it works in both ways. It turns TVs on if they're off, turns TVs off if they're on. And so we would walk down residential streets and turn TVs on. And people would probably come downstairs the next morning, and their TV would be on, and they'd wonder how that happened. So, yeah, there were all kinds of mischief. Now, we didn't give out the phone number, and the phone's ringing, so that's a red flag. We only pick up after we give out the phone number. So whoever's calling, stop that. And, you know, you'll have a fair chance when we give out the phone number. Give it a few seconds after we give out the number. That way we know you're not leaning on the last digit. The phone number is 802-321-4225. 802-321-HACK is our telephone number. And there's the phone call. Go ahead, Alex, and then we'll take this phone call.
Yeah, very quickly. What if we change the number every week?
Why would that
would be like rebel protection against rebel.
We don't need to protect ourselves against rebel or anybody, for that matter.
Okay.
Yeah,
right.
we can handle a conversation. It's not a big deal. I'm not about to go out and get a different phone number every damn week.
I don't dislike rebel. I appreciate him for what
he is. We don't know this is rebel at all.
Go way back.
Good evening. Yeah,
well,
you're on Off the Hook Overtime. Go ahead.
Listen,
it's Rebel. How about that? Wow. What are the odds? This is amazing.
How did I know?
You weren't on last week.
You noticed. Well, we were on. We just weren't on overtime. And we were off because a good part of our staff were not here, so it wouldn't have made much sense.
What do you do? You run from the radio station to somewhere else to do the overtime show?
Yeah, as you know, we go to the radio station, and then we very quickly all go to our homes and do overtime in about 4 minutes after the radio show ends. I mean, Rebel, you know better because you call to complain about this every damn week that we aren't at the station. So, you know, don't feign ignorance because you're not going to fool us.
Well, you're still not at the witness.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine we're still not there? The indignation here is incredible. Yeah, no, we're still not there, Rebel. We're still not. And every time you bring it up, we're not going to be there for an additional week. How about that?
So ask them when are you going to be able to.
We're planning on going back, but every time you ask, we push it back another week.
Yeah, let me have the marker. Okay. Let me have the marker. I'm going to
write behind you, Kyle.
I'm
going to
add
behind
a liner. One week, I'll put a line on
there
the
you
calendar.
Go.
I noticed that I have on my cell phone, I noticed back when Sprint PCS was around and I had a Galaxy S20 or whatever, 21, they had this high-definition voice feature, or HD voice, that would sometimes come up. How does that work? Because sometimes people would call me today on my cell phone now, and it would just sound very clear and high quality.
Yeah, it sounds like FM. I know that T-Mobile has that as well. I'm not sure. Maybe somebody can correct me on this, but I think it only works when you're calling within the same company. But again, I don't know that for sure. You know, it's long been a gripe of mine that phone calls sound like phone calls. They should sound like FM broadcast. At this point in time, you know, we should be able to figure out the bandwidth and the technology so that phone calls sound good. No, there's nothing worse than watching a TV report or listening to a radio report where somebody is being interviewed and you can barely understand what they're saying, either because they're using a cheap handset or they have a bad connection. You know, phone calls should not sound worse than they sounded in 1945, okay? We really should have advanced. And it just shows that certain priorities are not being given to things that are important.
Well, because I asked T-Mobile, they said, well, yeah, if you're calling from T-Mobile to another T-Mobile phone, it will have the – but I don't know, is it a setting? Because I have Samsung this. They don't know.
Well, it sounded like you had somebody who had the answer. It sounded like what I was saying before, that it's within a company. So, you know, I guess you have to call somebody within T-Mobile, and if you have the phone that supports that, it should just kick in.
Right. But if somebody's calling me from another type of phone, is it the phone that's doing it, or is it the because they're getting rid of the 3G and the 2G, so...
Yeah, I would ask that person at T-Mobile that told you this, because they would have the answer for sure.
Right.
Right? Makes
they're
sense.
Getting, you know, they're getting rid of the 3G and the 2G. Like if I tether on my computer, like, you know, how they say, well, if you go over 50 megabytes or gigabytes or whatever on tethering, we're going to slow you down to like 2G or 1G speed or something.
Right. Yeah,
not even going to do that anymore, because there's not going to be any 3G or 4G. It's all going to be 5G.
Well, they can still slow you down, but they just won't have those particular technologies anymore. So who knows what they'll do. It'll be annoying, whatever it is.
You know what they do at the subway station? You know they have play commercials in the subway station now. Like, you know, like they have announcements and, like, they say, you know, please step away from the platform manager. Attention, bell riders, you know. You know, the platform may be slippery, so please, because now they have commercials playing, like, for movies.
With audio or just the picture?
Yeah. No, with audio. It's just audio on the loudspeaker.
Okay, I've never seen Gila, you ride the subway. Have you seen that?
No, I have not. There were some weird times where they had, like, celebrities, and I use that term loosely, recording announcements. Remember, like, when Awkwafina show came on, that was a whole thing. But no, I haven't really heard ads in that way.
You know, it's funny you should mention that, because with regards to celebrities or athletes, they would announce something. This is on Long Island Railroad platforms. They would announce, you know, please stay away from the track edge or whatever it is. This is Babe Ruth, and this is, you know, a public service announcement. You would see that scroll across on the type below. So even if you didn't hear it, you would see text saying, hi, this is Babe Ruth, and this is a public service announcement. It's really ridiculous. Why? You know, that's
Babe Ruth died, like, in 2020?
Well, that's why I used him, so nobody would get mad at me, but apparently that backfired.
Oh, okay. Well, okay, but anyway, but these are not announcements, celebrity saying announcements like, please stand away from the platform edge. These are actual commercials that you would hear on the radio for, like, a movie coming out. You'd hear that on the loudspeaker, as if an announcement was coming.
Well, I would object to that. I mean, I don't have a problem with just visuals playing, even on a subway car or whatever, if they're somehow helpful or just non-intrusive. But if you're going to start piping audio at people that's selling something, no, that's stepping over the line.
Well, just like now you have on phone calls now, it's the same thing. Like, it's not really the same thing, but it's like if you dial, like, 212-221-9244, which was a cell phone, I mean a payphone, used to be a payphone in the New York City Public Library, instead of the recording saying, da-da-da, the number you have reached, 221-9244, has been disconnected, or you have this thing that says, giggle, 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 giggle. The call you have, you know, I could have three-wayed you.
Please don't. But no, it's an advertisement?
Yeah. Call 212-221-9244. It says, the number you have reached is not in service, but if you need to look up a phone, it says something. The number you have reached is not in service, but I could look up another number, business in the area or something like that.
Okay, so it's at least the phone company. It's at least something that might be somewhat related, because if you're calling somebody who's no longer there.
I don't think it's the phone company. It sounds like an advertisement type of request.
Well, it has to be somebody that is in charge of the phone number, because they're playing it when you call that phone number.
Right. But I don't know why they would say, I wish I had a recording of it.
Well, you know what? Why don't you stay on the line, see what happens, and maybe you can ask them some questions.
Well, I mean, it's because it says,
I don't know what you're typing, but, yeah.
Well, I'm typing the phone. I'm putting the phone number up so that maybe people could call it and
they're listening to the show. These are the people that already have the number, so maybe you want to type that number and broadcast it someplace else. Final question or statement, Rebel, and we're going to move on.
Let's see. Oh, by the way, I'm looking at the picture of your vent. You need some body work on the undercase. You need a good body shot?
We know. Yeah.
You know, that's part of the charm, okay?
We know.
The ruggedness of the van, it's always looked like that, and yes, but your comments have been noted.
We're going to go, we'll do a crowdsource campaign.
Yeah, we didn't put it up to get notes, all right? We put it up to show off and see how cool it looks. And it does
how
look pretty cool.
How is the van, by the way?
The van is just fine. Thank you for asking.
Yeah. It's really nice of you to think
of
it.
Yeah.
Is
802?
I don't know why you're playing us back. Okay, Rebel, final words from you, then we're going to move on.
Okay, I guess that's it.
Okay.
Why don't you call it on the air?
I'll consider that as soon as we have a free line. So thank you for calling.
219244.
Yeah, we've said that number enough times. Thank you, Rebel. It was good hearing from you. And, okay, our phone line is open now. Our phone number is 802-321-4225, 802-321-HACK. Please give us a call so that we can hear from you. We haven't heard from people in a while, so it'd be nice to do that.
That whole conversation about HD voice or HD radio, I guess, it reminded me of an ad I saw. I think I was watching Canadian television, but it was about the next-gen TV standard. And they were specifically talking about that in the context of the audio being clearer or better than what we have now, which I think there have been a couple articles written about this, how people are using captioning more, and some of the programming, the television shows and things that people are watching are harder to actually hear the dialogue.
People mumble all the time. I don't know what it is, but, I used to, it's not just getting older. Yeah, I know people are going to point to that and say, you just can't hear anymore. No, I have no problem hearing when people enunciate, but, sometimes you play something back, and even when you know what they're saying, you're trying to make out, really? That's what you're saying? That's not how that word is pronounced. I don't know. I'm not sure what's going on, but captioning sometimes, it's a tool that you can use.
Well, right, and I think it's one of the actual, it is a great thing that is getting much, like the quality of the captioning and the availability, widespread, awesome implementation. That is needed. It's expected. It should work well as a service for along with additional audio channels and things that you can do now with the digital sort of transformation. Anyway, I was looking it up. It is the ATSC standard, and what that branding is that's their how they're going to certify things, but it is the 3.0 standard for broadcast. So we'll probably be talking a lot more about that and people being forced into it if they're getting things over the air or I don't know. But it very much reminded me of that as, we can handle it with the 5G, like more bandwidth, the standards and expectations and levels of quality are going to increase. And there it is sort of being hyped. I think it was just sort of a public service ad, like announcing the technology, and it's been promoted a lot in the last couple of years. So we'll probably be talking about it and how it works or doesn't. We do have a call.
We have a call. Okay. Good evening. You're on Off the Cover Time. Go ahead.
Yes. Hello. It's Monty from Friendly El Monte, California.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. Listen, I'm kind of calling in reference to what the last call discussed a little bit, which is that we are apparently that the 2G GSM network is the last bits of it are being shut down by T-Mobile on April 2nd, 2024.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And, you know, I've been updating my devices, but I'm sort of wondering, are we going to find out on April 3rd that there's a whole bunch of sort of dumb devices, for lack of a better term, that are utilizing the 2G network that nobody really thought to fix and update, and we're going to find a whole sort of a blackout of communications from, you know, I don't know, ATMs, ticket machines, things that are currently hooked up to the cellular network that may not people that may not realize that they're now at the end of their life expectancy. What do you guys think?
I would imagine T-Mobile must be keeping track of their customers that use 2G, right?
Well, my concern is that there's a bunch of people who may be utilizing the GSM network and it's defaulting to the T-Mobile network because that's still out there.
Right.
I know AT&T shut down theirs. But I think there may have been people, especially through third parties or even former AT&T customers, who you know maybe the system just jumped on to the T-Mobile network. And,
right.
I
love that, and I think you're right. I'm specifically thinking because you cite or you describe it really well. I'm thinking of like remote sensing and like telemetry stuff, like just a forgotten about thing that worked so well and just. Still does,
yep.
Save for the very network it was accessing, other networks upstream, quitting on it from wherever it is. But specifically, instruments, telemetry for various sites that are just far flung and need just very low bandwidth to give information to other systems. That's a great example, and I think people as this stuff. Whatever generation goes away, we should at least kind of learn from and repurpose some of the stuff, maybe not on the same frequencies to interfere, but at least on smaller scales and lower powers and in labs and, you know, wherever it's surplus to, people should embrace it and come up with ways to at least not abandon it immediately, especially if there is something that's hard to re-engineer around it, and it really just needs to go a certain distance on that kind of mode of communication. But that's a great point.
I was especially thinking because the 1G system, was that the analog system? Was that what we called it, 1G?
Oh, I don't. Okay. Yeah, like amps.
I'm not sure about that. Was it?
You're saying amps. This is old stuff.
I don't
possibly,
think amps was 1G.
When you talk the G, you're talking GSM, so that's like post TDMA, CDMA, and like all the stuff that led up prior to that. Okay. But there's people that know that's pressing the limits of the detail that I would know. But if you look up GSM, and you can start to see that that's actually well after the amps protocol came out of mode from like. Macaw and like cellular 1 days and all that. Oh, that's fun.
Actually, I just looked this up. The first generation 1G of cellular mobile communication systems
is it AMPS?
Called Advanced Mobile Phone System.
Okay,
AMPS
so it is.
In North America uses analog FM. So yeah, okay.
So, all right,
I learned something today. Wow.
Good question.
So I guess my point is that the AMPS system shut down, as I recall, it was somewhere around 2007, 2008, because I sort of sat there with my.
Yes.
With my phone, watched it kind of turn off. It was kind of fun. And so, you know, but that is, 15 years ago. So it's almost like there's a whole bunch of people who are working in the field who've never really experienced this. And they, you know, if their system was working until now and they just didn't even, you know, or just you have casual people who have no clue how cellular phones work and they're, I can say it's going to be interesting on April 3rd to see what we discover because it could be really one of those, the like the millennium bug situations. Anyways, something to look out for, and then we can do a talk about it at Hope, right?
Yeah,
definitely.
It just occurred to me when you said that, like IoT devices, a lot of stuff that might not be on older cellular, but totally, like Alex brought up earlier, 2.4 gigahertz. What if that goes away? And like, how many devices would not work just period at all if if somehow that was taken out of or otherwise absorbed by some entity that wanted it for something else. And, I mean, it's just – it's a great point.
Yeah, thanks for bringing it up.
Do we know what beepers work on? Because I know a lot of medical people still use beepers or pagers, I should say, because they're inside of big medical, you know, buildings, and the regular cellular networks can't penetrate the building, but they need to be able to be in contact. Do we know what band that stuff is on?
I didn't know they still use beepers or pagers, whatever they're called.
I thought it was like around
the medical profession.
I thought it was around 300 megahertz, but I'm not sure. Look it up. You can look up and figure out where it was.
Yeah, hey, Alex, that means we can maybe listen in on some of these again.
You very well may. Yeah, that'd be fun.
If anybody has an old beeper, it might say what frequency.
Or an old scanner. Let's start perusing the airwaves.
Yeah.
Yep. I still have my Radio Shack Pro 51.
Okay. All right.
I used to do it with my old UHF TV set. That was also fun.
Oh, for cellular, back at Channel 83 and all that, yeah.
Way back
when. Those are the days.
Well, listen, that's the thing. I we'll see. We'll find out. I think it's an interesting, just one of these deadlines that's coming up real quick here, and I wanted to call you guys about it, but you've been away and busy with other stuff. So,
thanks for alerting us.
For the show. I really enjoy it.
All right. Take care.
Thanks for listening.
Bye-bye.
You know, that would be kind of a cool thing to have, is basically a countdown clock to various things that are being retired that people might not be realizing that, yeah, this is going to stop working on this day, or this might start working, you don't know, or something's going to change. A signal no longer works on Windows 7 machines. Do people know that? Yeah, or Windows 8. They just decided, no, we're not going to support that anymore. And, so you have to get a new computer if you want to use them. Or upgrade or something. Or downgrade, however you look at it. All right, we have time for one more phone call, 802-321-4225, and it's already coming in, so.
I like to say just maintain.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's get this phone call. Good evening. You're on Off the Cover Time.
I'm sorry.
Okay, I'm going to call the.
Kyle, don't pick up that line.
I wasn't looking.
All right. Well, apparently you look because you said sorry, so.
I didn't look at
that. All right. And if you've already called, and if you're a rebel especially, you cannot call again. All right? 802-321-4225. There are other people in the world, believe it or not.
But technically, if someone calls on behalf of Rebel, that would be allowed.
Gila, I don't see your hand because it's up against a white wall. And, I didn't recognize it. But go ahead.
Okay. Tim in Connecticut coming through clutch and telling us that commercial paging operates in the 35 to 36, 43 to 44, 152 to 159, and 454 to 460 megahertz bands, sometimes referred to as the lower band, and the 929 and 931 megahertz band, sometimes referred to as the upper band.
Boom.
I was hoping for more information, but thank you. that's pretty awesome. Okay.
Leave it to the listeners.
802-321-4225. That's the number for people who have not called already tonight. 802-321-HACK. That'll be our last call for the night because, we still have a lot of Ash Wednesday and Valentine's Day things to do tonight. Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
All of us together. It's going to be a party.
I feel the love. Okay. Next caller. Mm-hmm.
Well, it has to come in. I can't just take the call because I want to.
I know. I was prompting them.
All right. Yeah.
Well, while we're waiting
officially
for a phone
run
call.
Out of things to say, apparently.
while we're waiting for a phone call, I just wanted to quickly mention the insane story about the WJLX radio station in Alabama who had their transmitter tower.
You know, we talked about this last week.
I did not know you talked about
no,
this.
No, we talked
about
it, and I brought up the point that this is a radio station. How did they not know that they were off the air when somebody stole their antenna? And then it took a landscaper to go there and say, "Hey, there's no tower here anymore." For them to that makes me think, you know, you don't have that big a listenership. Maybe retire the AM station or whatever station it was that went off the air. Was there any update on that story?
None so far. There's a GoFundMe up now for the station because they had no insurance, and so they're looking to raise money to get it back together.
Well, I can sort of understand, like, who would think that your transmitter or your antenna, rather, could be stolen, especially, you know, a tower. But these days, anything is possible, I suppose. It's just, you know, if you're going to do that, right, you must realize that it's a radio station, and as soon as you cut the power to the thing, in a normal setting anyway, alarm bells will trigger, and they'll know exactly where to go to find you because you're right there at the antenna site. The fact that they were able to do this, and, you know, it's not a quick thing to cut down a tower and take all the copper or metal, whatever, and escape. They must have been very confident that nobody was going to do that. So it's just, there's a lot wrong with that story. There really is. But we look forward to hearing how it concludes, if it ever does. We have a phone call?
We have a phone call.
And it's not the same people that have called before?
As far as I can tell.
Okay. I no disguising your number either if you're not. Yeah, good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime.
No promise.
I just wanted to ask a quick question there. Sure. And I'm just going to hang up and listen to your response. But the question was, can you say anything about, I forgot what you call the event that happens this year?
Would you be calling it the Hope Conference, maybe?
Hope Conference.
Hackers on Planet Earth, yes.
Yes. Is it happening this year?
Happening this year. Let me ask you a question. Have you been part of it in the past?
No. I want to, this year, I do want to attack. You know, I was watching it on YouTube.
Okay.
Last year. I saw the some of them on YouTube last year.
Uh-huh.
In Queens. Well, I think it was in Queens last year.
Yes, it was at St. John's University, and we had a great time.
Yeah.
All the information is at hope.net, but we can certainly prattle on a little bit about the details if you want us to do that.
Yeah, please.
Okay.
What are you interested in? What would you want to know? Details?
Well, I wanted to know was, like, who is there, like, a list of who's going to be there at this point and the speakers and things like that, the events and stuff like that? Or?
Well, we just opened up the doors for people to submit proposals for talks and panels, and we're looking for all kinds of other people to participate. So that will be up very soon. It's not up yet. Right now we're at the stage where we're just basically trying to get people to get tickets so that we have more to work with and can start really putting this thing together. The website is hope.net, hope.net. And the reason why I asked if you had participated in the past is that we've been hitting a real problem with Gmail, basically blocking our messages and saying it's all spam. So we can't reach the people who have already attended the conference who want to be on our mailing list because Google is saying, no, you can't talk to them because we believe that you're spammers. And obviously, we're not spammers. So that's been very frustrating. So we're trying to get the word out. It's very hard for us to get the word out if we can't.
Is it in Queens?
It's in Queens.
Is it going to be Queens?
Yeah, same place, St. John's University. It's very centrally located. It's very easy to get to. And there's a lot of details on the Hope.net website as far as that goes. But I would keep checking that site. I would sign up for the mailing list. I would check your spam folder if you use Gmail. And there are going to be a lot of updates coming in the weeks and months ahead. It's happening July 12th through the 14th.
Okay, very good. That answers my questions. Thank you very much.
Thanks for calling. Thanks for the interest. And, I'm glad he reminded us because we're so bad at promoting ourselves, right? The things that we do. And the Hope Conference is basically the thing we do every 2 years. We have been doing it at Hotel Pennsylvania, and, that hotel is rubble now. They tore the whole thing down. We tried to save it. We tried to save it twice. And even before it was doomed to destruction, we had decided that it was time for us not to be there anymore. Too crowded, too difficult to work with. Way too expensive, and St. John's University just had so much to offer. And we've had one conference there already, tremendously successful. We're planning all kinds of new things this time. But for it to really work, we need attendees, a lot more attendees than what we're getting. And we believe the majority of the problems are coming from two things, really. Gmail's actions, where they're labeling so much legitimate mail of ours as spam because they decided that things coming from Hope.net are hacker-related or whatever, and they believe that anything like that is spam. And the other reason is because social media is in a state of real chaos right now. Twitter is nothing like it was 2 years ago. Basically, there is almost no back and forth on Twitter anymore because of what Elon Musk has done to that. So we're doing a lot on Mastodon. We're working on Blue Sky. We're also still on Twitter, but it's just hard to reach people in this day and age.
Yeah, and despite that, I think they're just the two big reasons for me that I'm most excited, and I think people should also share in that, is the familiarity. I mean, the fact that we've had a successful event there, we're excited to just basically come up with what more we can do there, because we're thinking of how it worked before. We've considered a lot of people's reactions and feedback and what their experience was like. We want to do more and interesting stuff. And the thing is, it was really, really kind of pleasant. I think the venue itself was embracing all the hackers that we were inviting there, and it turned out really well. And functionally, operationally, wrangling volunteers, building up and everything, I think it went more delightfully, shall I say, than a lot of what it had taken to just assemble and put everything together at the hotel. This is a new place. The way we did it before isn't necessarily how we'll do it for all time, and we're not really kind of in huge habits as far as how it should be. And we're open to new ideas. We're open to stuff that the campus itself, as I said, is as well. So yeah, that's something really fantastic to look forward to. And the other thing is just there is a lot to talk about.
Oh, yeah. It's an awful lot to talk about. A lot of technology, a lot of things have changed. And as Kyle was saying, it's a pleasant place to have the conference, because we're in a place that supports us. We're in a place that is huge. It has lots of space, lots of open air. And, St. John's is a massive enough place where we could do this conference six times and it would be completely different each time as far as the resources we use and where we are and how we do it. You know, we try out new things, and we can try out more new things the more people that are a part of this. And, if you can help us in any way, if you have particular areas of expertise, we'd love to hear from you. There's all kinds of contact information on the Hope.net website. We need help with audiovisual. We need help with networking. We need help with all kinds of coordination, volunteers of one sort or another. And, of course, speakers. If you have something that you'd like to present, whether it be some kind of security hole or some kind of new technology, or maybe it's something that you're constructing that has some interest to people in the hacker world. Doesn't have to be super technological, doesn't have to be computers, doesn't have to be phones, all kinds of things that the hacker world encompasses. There are car hackers, there's space hacking, there's all sorts of things. It's just no limit, basically. We are open to that, and I think we are more open than most other conferences are to people who may never have spoken before in front of crowds, or to people who do nothing but speak in front of crowds. We have a big amount of variety insofar as what our program is like. As the caller mentioned, just watching the videos from this very channel that you're quote-unquote watching us on right now, Channel 2600, you'll see what we're all about. So go through those videos and ask yourself, is Hope something that I'd be interested in? And if the answer is yes, then by all means, register. Again, do not worry about it being outside of Manhattan. It's in Queens. Queens is one of the most awesome places in the country. It's easy to get to. There are all kinds of instructions, virtually every possibility of how to get to the campus. It's close to the airports, so it's really easy to travel to. It's super simple from the city. And you can even drive there. If you're so inclined, you can drive your car and park for free. you couldn't do that at Hotel Pennsylvania, that's for sure. So we have a lot of people trying to make it really an incredible situation, and we hope to be able to continue doing this in the future.
Yeah, like the important thing is really because we've the advantage of some of that functionality and just ease of doing this, we really can focus on the contents of it and what people are talking about. So as much as we can assemble people and be prepared, as much as we do that and as soon as we do that, I think the better off we'll be to accommodate the kind of discussion we want to have and the different things that people want to try.
Mm-hmm.
The easier it is and the more hands we have working on this, the better off I think we'll be in trying this for another round.
Absolutely.
It's going to be interesting.
The website is hope.net. The dates are July 12th through the 14th. And we are adding information onto the site as we get it. We have some amazing housing options right now. We have some off-campus dormitories that we've snagged, and it's so cheap. It's cheaper than you could imagine. We're talking about the middle of Kansas prices for New York City. That, you know, it's different. It's an adventure. It's something that you'll definitely remember. We also have a couple of hotels, complete with a dive bar on the first floor, which is a pretty awesome place to gather and hang out. Again, off campus, but easily reachable to the conference by either mass transit. It's one bus that goes directly there, or Uber or taxis or things like that. It's really a lot of fun, and I very much suggest that you take part in it. And please help us spread the word, because as we mentioned, it's been ridiculous trying to get the word out with the state of social media these days and what Gmail has been doing. We're hackers. We can figure out ways around these challenges. All right, any final words from people before we sign off for the night? Alex?
Well, it's just a request. I, as I mentioned during Off the Hook, am in the market for a cane to start walking. So if anybody had any recommendations for a really cool canes that would, I think, fit our particular brand of personality here, I'm all ears. It's really kind of interesting shopping for a walking cane. There are so many options, so many kind of cool things out there. So,
where do you go shopping for a walking cane?
Well, you know, you put walking canes into a search engine, and all these really interesting things come up. I mean, really kind of crazy stuff out there. Uh-huh. Some really cool canes. I mean, look, this is an interesting time where you get to. Yeah, I'm only in my 40s, but I get to walk with a cane for a little while. That's sort of exciting.
I would imagine that there's probably a store you could just walk into in Manhattan that specializes in canes. Oh, I just realized you probably couldn't walk into the store.
That's true, yeah.
Wow,
yeah, I could stroll into the store.
That makes that business hard to run, I guess.
I guess it does.
I didn't think of that.
Yeah, but there's quite a variety of canes. And wouldn't you want to do it right? I mean, it's a very distinctive part of you at some point. You know, do you want to use an orthopedic cane that comes down with, like, you know, the four prongs at the end, or do you want to have something that represents your personality?
I think you should get something where people will see you going by and they'll say, hey, look at that. And they won't be pointing at you. They'll be pointing at the cane, because the cane will just be so awesome.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm in the market for.
Okay, all right. Well, so, we'll find you something worthy of who you are.
I think it should be a cane with an automatic license plate reader.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. Or a cane with a TVB gun built into it. That would be
there you
really
go.
Cool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that would be amazing. Yep, let's do it. Yep.
All right, folks, that's it for us tonight. We will be back next week, I'm told. OTH@2600.com is our email address. And please continue to send us your feedback, your thoughts, your comments. Again, hope.net is where all the hope information is. And keep listening to WBAI and peruse our various videos here on Channel 2600 on YouTube. We'll see you next week. Good night.